You still don't look like a pastor. I came to Solomon's Porch a few years back, and I was looking for a worship team that could really fit well with Cambodia. I live in L.A., so I have access to all these Hollywood guys and, you know, that kind of musician. But if we bring that kind of team to Cambodia, it will overwhelm them. You know what I mean? The technically, they are way up there, and it's going to totally overwhelm Cambodians. Now, we don't want a sucky team, because then they will laugh at us, you know, because they have talent. So I was at Solomon's Porch the first time, and worshiping, I'm going, I think this is the group. Not to really overwhelm, but something to teach, you know. And wow, what a blessing, right? You guys come and just ministered, and we do professional outreach, and we literally see hundreds of people come to know Christ. And literally now in the tens of thousands because of the work we do. So I want you to watch a four-minute clip of what we do, and I think I shown this last year I was here. I don't have time to develop new one, but since we have so many new people, you know, go ahead. Let's watch this.
저희 가족 소개로 이 프레젠테이션을 시작하겠습니다.
Check that. You gotta do the English one. Sorry. Time out. There's a two version, English and Korean. Go back. It's my daughter, by the way. Third year at Fuller Theological Seminary. Oh, yeah, I have DVD. They download the wrong one. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I have Cambodian version too, but you don't understand. So I made this DVD it's 2009, just talking about our mission. I began mission work 1997 for Cambodia. I was reading the Bible, and I was getting out of my quiet time, and the Lord gave me one word, and one word was Cambodia. And I remember like, no, Lord, it's Hawaii. You know, it's like, forget Cambodia. I don't even know where it is. You know, I was like, but Lord just, you know, like, you can't get away when God calls. I wish you really understand that. If God calls you, don't run away. You know, He's everywhere and He sees everything, and you cannot really get away from His calling. So 97, God called me to Cambodia. And by the time we planted five churches in Southern Cal for English-speaking Asian-American multi-ethnic church. So 98, I planned another church for Cambodian refugees in South Central. In Long Beach, we have 60,000 refugees, Cambodian, live in Long Beach now. So launched my mission work in Cambodia. 2000, my wife went to Cambodia, declare the nation as hers. 2001, I went and we started ministry in lepers colony. 2,800 lepers live in this Phom Trang in Kampong Cham area. And so we bought a 20-acre lot, and we built an elementary that began to grow and became a junior high, high school, Bible college, medical facility. We end up buying, you know, the agency that we're working with end up buying 100 acre more, so it became a whole city. And we eradicate the leprosy within 6 years. And only six active lepers lived there. And that point, God took me out to Phnom Penh, and we're now doing launched. We start a cafe, we start a gallery, we start publishing house, and we do this kind of crazy stuff. So, are we ready? Okay, so go ahead and watch.
Yesu ai kontrolai pra For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
You know, I don't have a car. I've been riding motorcycles since 15. So 2007 comes, beginning of the year, I tell my wife, honey, I really think I need to do a cross-country over America in a motorcycle. Because when I turned 15, the first thing I've done in America, I immigrated to America at age 12. And 3 years later, when I became 15 and got my first license, I need to see America for myself if I want to stay here. So I did first cross country at age 15. I loved it. I decided to stay. So 30 years later, when I, 2007, when I turned, I don't know how old, I said, honey, I need to do cross country in a motorcycle. And she said no because it's dangerous, blah, 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 you know. And, you know, after married 26 years, when your wife talks, he sounds like the Lord. So, so two things, you know, she said, you need money and you need someone to go with you. Well, Lord miraculously provided the finance, and it's amazingly, a Christian television system wanted to follow me and turned it into documentary. So 2007, I did 30-day tour, 14 meetings. It became 8 30-minute documentary, which will be start airing this Thanksgiving in Korea. So, I mean, all in all, we raised $120,000 and we endowed it into my foundation. And that money, the residual of interest, would be given to 26 pastors' kids to go to college. And it's really working great until 2 years ago. My finance company that takes care of my foundation said, sir, we're going to invest in Hong Kong. HSBC project, and it would be great. We'll be producing a lot more money. Can you allow me to do that? I'm like, Hong Kong, man, I like SP. I trust SP. So I said, sure, you know. For 2 years, they've been holding our money, entire fund. Because project, it went through, the money came from China, $230 million. But they are not releasing our fund. Because it is, I mean, all of you guys are bankers, like, what is he talking about? You know, elementary stuff. But it was deposit. It was, and because project is not processing, they're not giving us that money back. Right? It was a collateral. So I was so frustrated because when I went back to Cambodia this year, they said, sir, out of 26 kids, 7 already graduated, but we've been giving the money out, and you are $5,100 short as of today. And so I said, man, I gotta fight HSBC. You know, I gotta go there, right? So yesterday, I get an email from my foundation company in America. His name is Tim. Tim said, Pastor O, you know, you need to pray for HSBC because they are not releasing the fund. I said, man, okay, you know, I will pray for them. And I really wanted to go and physically touch the building and pray. And, you know, I'm staying at Pastor Samsung's apartment now because entire family is now living in my house. We did a house swap. You know, so I'm staying over a weekend. He's staying like 3 weeks. And he said, I don't have a car. So you use my car, you know. And I add him to my insurance policy. So he's using my car, living in my house. And he's got free babysitters. You know, I got 5 kids, right? So he's having a great time, you know. So I just emailed Tim. I said, okay, I'll go to HSBC. I don't know where it is right now. But I'm going to go and pray, physically pray over the building. And I walk out from his apartment. I don't know if you've been to his. Right in front, there's HSBC International Headquarters. It lives right across from HSBC. It was awesome, man. So I went down there, and I was circling the building 7 times. It's like, I said, I'm going to pray down, and Lord sent me as a primary intercessor for my PKs, you know. And I was walking, and they were having demonstration, you know, and they were chanting like, you know, CEO of HSBC, go to hell, and that kind of stuff. In Chinese, I don't understand, you know. That was my interpretation, you know. So I was circling it 7 times. And then I said, Lord, I need to get into the building because I want to, you know, in the valley of that Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, right? So I said, Lord, I need to go eat something in that place. And I was about to go in, and I was stopped because there's a lot of, you know, demonstration going on. I don't look like a pastor nor client, you know. So they stopped me. I said, well, you want to go in? I said, no, I need to go into the building. I have an account at Oxford, HSBC account, which is true. So I have some question, which I did, you know. So they let me in. And the second floor, man, is free espresso machine. I love it, you know. Free candy. I was eating candy, drinking coffee, and praying, you know. And while I was walking HSBC building 7 times, and I always listen to the word of God when I run or jog or walk, whatever. 2 days ago, I did 13-mile walk over Hong Kong, 7 hours. And I was praying for the city, feel for the city. It's one of the prayer walk. So I did 13-mile half marathon prayer walk over the city 2 days ago. So as I was doing this, and I was listening to the word of God. So I just finished off my New Testament 6 times this year. And as I was walking, I think it was 5th time or 6th time, I was listening to Hebrews chapter 11. So, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. I'm like, yes! You know, I take it as a sign from you. This thing's gotta release it, Lord. I want walls to come down. I want breakthrough. This PK's got to continue with their education, you know. So I'm praying, and it's an amazing thing. That's what I want to talk about today, you know. That's what I want to share with you. The walls are coming down, but are you ready? The walls are coming down, but are you ready? Let's pray. God, make us ready, Lord, because when walls come down, battle rages on. Lord, it's not the wall coming down, the end of victory. The victory trumpet will not sound until battle is won. So Father, as this people, HKSP, really understand the spiritual dimension of this life that we live in, and that the opportunities, Lord, that you've given them in this place is tremendous, Lord. It's top 1%, Lord. And Father, the walls are coming down. Get them ready for the battle, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I get a call from a friend of mine for a long time, for almost 30 years. And she said, Pastor, my dad is dying. He went to coma, and he was in coma for several weeks. I want you to go witness to him because he does not know the Lord. And I'm, okay, you know, I will try, you know. Well, I've known the man. He's a great businessman. He's the one, he's a Korean guy. He's the one who brought 007 series into Korea, you know. In his 50s, 60s, when 007 was the real 007, you know. There's only one 007, Sean, right? And when real 007, he brought that in, so he's a huge businessman, made tons of money, and you know, the whole thing, immigrate to America. And you know, his only thing that he does a couple times a month is go to Las Vegas and gamble, you know, and just, you know, and he went into coma, heavy smoker, and he had stomach cancer. And fourth, fifth stage, whatever, no chance, went into coma. And a friend called and said, my father is in coma for several weeks, and you need to share gospel, Jesus Christ, with my dying father who's in coma. I said, okay, what hospital? St. Mary, okay, one room number, whatever, you know, 300, 600, whatever. So I said, okay, I'm there. So I go there, walk into this St. Mary Hospital, room 600, whatever, and bust in. I said, hello, and there was a Mexican lady. And she freaked out, like, who is this guy? You know, I don't look like a pastor, you know. And she, I don't know, she said something in Spanish, I don't know, apoyo loco, you know, like, mucho burrito, you know, or something like that, you know. So I'm like, oh, excuse me, you know, it's like, isn't this St. Mary? Yeah, yeah, it is. It's the right hospital. Isn't this room number? Yeah, right room number. What happened? Wrong city. You know? it was a St. Mary in Irvine, not St. Mary in L.A., you know? So I'm just assuming it's L.A., so I went. So I said, excuse me, you know? And I get in my car, drive down 40 minutes to Irvine or what, Orange County. St. Mary, okay, here it goes. You know, again, now by this time it was really late. And I go in there, and it turns out that he's in ICU, intensive care unit, and no visitors after hour, no visitor whatsoever in that particular unit. And he was guarded by guard, you know, and walking in, I had my Bible, you know, usually they'd let pastor in, you know, especially if you have King James Version Bible, you know, it's like, yeah. If you have NIV, they kind of think twice, you know. new interesting version, no, you know. So I make sure I have the biggest Bible possible because I don't look like a pastor. So I go there and talk to the guard and say, hey, yo, man, you got to let me in. I guess the guy's dying. I got to pray for him. He said, sir, you know, sorry, it's off hour and it's ICU. And the reason I'm here because I need to keep people like you away, you know. So I said, okay, no, it's cool, you know. And so I walk away and I'm praying. I said, Lord, I got to see this guy, you know. Make it happen, Lord, you know. And I'm wondering, you know, just praying and asking. And then I look, and guard went to restroom. It's like, wow. It must be God, right? Right at that moment, oh, man, I got to go, you know. So I know, that's the time, you know, it's God's timing. So I walk in and find a room and make sure I'm not seen by nurses, you know, and go to his room. And this old guy, wow, such... just emotion came to old man who, man, he ruled the world at one point. He was the man in media industry in Korea. He was the Bill Gates of multimedia, the movie industry in Korea in the 60s. You know what I mean? He was he was a top dog. He was the CEO of a company, and you know, I mean, he did so much stuff, and he's just old frail man, all shriveled up with stomach, because his stomach cancer, and he's in coma. Hook up to gazillion machines and, you know, feeding machine, breeding machine, and it's like, it's out. But I read somewhere in internet that people even in coma could understand. I don't know if it's medically true. I just read somewhere in the internet. And so I held this, and I knew him personally because I used to have discipleship at his house, you know. So I would hold his hand, and I said, "Sir, you know, I read somewhere that you could understand. And I know behind that blank look and closed eyes, and I know you could hear. If that is true, and I pray to God that it is true, that I'm going to share the gospel with you, and I'm holding your hand. If there's any way you could respond to me, tap, quick jerk, or just anything, just let me know we're communicating, right?" And then I said, "Sir, God loves you. God has had a wonderful purpose in your life, and you lived a full life as a businessman. But sir, if you die today, you are going to hell because you have not recognized the lordship of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who was a deity, out of his humility, unclothed himself and stepped into humanity and wanted to save souls. And until you recognize that as your message and believe in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved, sir. And would you just let me know you got it and you're willing to pray that?" And I felt something. There was a little jerk. I'm like, "Whoa, I think internet is right. I think he's understanding this." So I said, "Sir, okay, well then, I'm going to repeat a prayer. Say a prayer, you repeat after me in your world, in coma world. I don't know where it is, you know. You're not there with me physically, but I know you're in the world. And that's where soul and spirit reside. Body's just the shell. It's just a chunk of meat. That's not who you are." I said, "Sir, would you just respond to me?" I said, "And dear God, Jesus, I need to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Yeah, I was a CEO. I was a top dog. I did all that. But it means jack if I die and go to hell." And I said, "Sir, if you want to meet your daughter in heaven, you better pray this prayer." And I prayed the prayer, and I said, "Did you pray that prayer, sir?" And there was a jerk. And I'm like, "Yes." You know, I prayed for him, prayed for healing. And then I sneaked out, and as I was walking out, God said, "What's up?" I said, "Hey, thanks, bro." You know, and I walked out. You know. A miracle happened next day. This guy who was in coma for several weeks gets up, wide awake. And then he said, "I'm hungry, feed me." He was in stomach cancer for 4 stage, whatever, he was going to die. They're getting ready for a funeral, you know, and he gets up and he's eating and he become healthy. Guess what? He lives one more month and then he passed on. Wow, I remember going to his funeral, it was like emotional. I said, "Lord, thank you. You sustained him 130 days that he could live as a Christian and reconnect with family as a Christian dad. And now they were going to unite in heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen." See, then I imposed this question to myself and to you. For one soul, if God is so concerned, for one soul we must take such measure. How much more we must do for a nation? How much more? See, when God gave me Cambodia 97, and I have absolutely no idea what that meant. Cambodia, Lord, I don't even know where it is, right? And of course, I find out that it is in between Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and Myanmar. And it is a nation that has been brutally auto-genocide. That's the first word introduced because of what Pol Pot has done to his people. 1.7 million were massacred by his own people, auto-genocide by Pol Pot, according to Yale study. And so from 1975 to 79, 3 years and 8 months and some months, and they've killed 1.7 million. And God is sending me to a nation. And 1993, finally, some sort of organized government constitution was formed, and the freedom of religion was introduced, 93. Right? And 97, it had a bloody coup d'etat by Pol Pot, Hun Sen himself, and took over the government. That was the year God called me, 97. It's something interesting, though, because 93, September 24th, was the day that the new constitution was written guaranteeing freedom of religion. That's my birthday. That's how I remember, 93, September 24th. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. At the bloody coup, 97, that's the time that God calls me to Cambodia. And so we've been doing Cambodia mission for a long time now, almost 13 years. And I now have student housing that I live with students and you know, things like that. It's awesome, right? So 2007, I am called to do this motorcycle tour and raise $120,000, and HSBC is messing it up, you know. So it's like I'm praying and, you know, I'm sending this kids to college, and miss it of all. The message is about the wall falling down. You know, yesterday I spent good time with some guys, you know, last night, and we had a great time. And we talked about this a little bit. But the thing that I want to focus on is, are you ready when the walls fall down? You know, because there are army inside the wall, and there are Israelites walking around, circling, right? And the Jericho wall is going to come down. But when it comes down, are you ready? See, I have very interesting friends, and one of these guys is like physics genius, and he said, Bob, I could explain that to you. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you know, the whole thing about Jericho, I could explain using the modern day science. I'm like, well, go ahead, you know. He said, well, there's a thing called the sound wave theory. You heard that, right? You shoot the sound wave at certain, and then as you, if you could just kind of keep on keeping on, and then what's going to happen, even the biggest building theoretically will collapse. You know, in vacuum of reality, theory works great. You know, so he's like, yeah, you know, what happened actually with Jericho Wall is that, yeah, can you imagine like million of people walking around, and all the sound wave was like slowly cracking the wall, man. And finally on seventh day, they started shouting, and finally, there was a tipping point, and it fell down. Wow, isn't it great that I could explain the miracle from the Old Testament? I'm like, wow, you know. Did you know that when I was studying calculus, that's way when, you know, way 1970s something, you know. I was studying calculus, and I'm not a number guy. No, really, I hate numbers. I found this, man. This every airplane magazine at the back, there's a section I call voluntary hell. And that's called Sudoku. It's like, why people do this? I don't understand, you know? It's voluntary hell, right? But this guy is so good. He did it entire thing in pen. I know it's a guy's handwriting. For me, I need a pencil and this big eraser, you know? It's like, I define the first line, this is so easy. Oh man, it's erased. This guy did the entire thing in pen. Wow, right? So I'm not a number guy, and I have issues with number or math. Two, I was given a test one day in high school calculus. I said, did anybody solve this problem? I said, yeah. And why are you giving it to me? Do you know the answer to this question? Yeah. Well, why do you want me to repeat the answer? You know, like, give me something that you don't know, right? So we could kind of solve it together, you know? So I was doing this upper division AP calculus in my high school, right? And because it was privileged, the few, the chosen, you know, they did early, well, an hour earlier than, you know, it's crazy. And I just couldn't get up, so I never made the class, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I learned enough, you know? I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it, you know? But, I mean, I don't see the point, though. Because calculus, you know, it's all these questions, they already have solution. See, I want to learn something that I need to solve on my own, and I want to be original, you know. But so, I didn't make the class, you know, most of the classes, so I was flunking out. And so my teacher, I finally went to the teacher, I said, sir, I know I'm not doing well, you know, because I don't show up in class. Because I gotta sleep, you know. But could you just consider my final grade as my only grade and then just give me that? He said, why? I said, you're not going to do well because you haven't shown up. I said, trust me, you know, just give me the final grade as my final grade. He said, okay, you're on, Bob. Well, I got A, you know, so I pulled A. And you know what the funny thing was, the teacher said? Hey, this is really interesting about math. It's my math teacher told me, he said, when I was growing up, I mean, now we're talking, you know, 50s, you know, I don't know, he's old guy. When I was growing up learning calculus, my final test in calculus was proving why nothing can get out of the Earth gravitational force. Using calculus, they had to mathematically prove why nothing can break through the gravitational force. And you know it's a lie, because we shoot out, you know, rockets every day, we go to moon. And he said he flunked because he was able to prove it, that you could break through gravitational force, and he got F on his final. And he was very, you know, it's like, yeah, and I knew I was right. My teacher was wrong. And I said, sir, but you're teaching the same stuff to me. Now you're telling me that I need to prove that we could break through the gravitational force using math, calculus. See, the math is simply axiomatic truth, meaning that everybody decides to agree that 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's not necessarily true. Why is 1 plus 1 equal 2? Well, because everybody decided it's true and built the entire science on it, right? But mathematically, I could still disapprove 1 plus 1 equal is not necessarily 2. I'm a philosophy major. We're crazy, you know? We could out-argue anybody, you know? So here he's talking about this. Mathematically, I can prove, Bob, that how Jericho wall fell. And I said, bro, listen, I believe the Bible because it's unbelievable. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to even make sense out of it. Because if it makes sense to you, it's not faith. It's an agreement. You cannot understand without having faith. I believe because it's unbelievable. If it's believable, it's an agreement. It's not faith. And it is impossible to please God without faith. So the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith. I mean, Hebrews 11 is full of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. By faith, Abel offered to God. By faith, Enoch disappeared. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And on, by faith, in chapter 3, verse 30 of chapter 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days, and these people did not mentally agree, you know, like, okay, we're going, the walls coming down after we do this 7 day pacing around the wall. Are you kidding me? Faith is not mental agreement. Faith is an action. See, these people took it upon themselves circling the wall 7 days. You know what? I'm like, okay, it's just a building. So I'm making circles 7 times. It was like 1.2 miles. I'm a walker, so I know, you know. And it was like, and all the cops are like, what are you doing? It was like, first time they said hi, and second time, The third time, like, what is he doing, you know? Four, they're walkie-talking each other. Okay, that's a strange guy, okay. You know, because I'm taking notes, I'm, you know, hearing from the Lord, and, you know, and especially after wall coming down message from here, I'm like, I'm excited, like, I'm so happy, you know. So I am acting out my faith, not mentally agreeing. But in a Western world, we are told that we need to mentally agree. See, we were told that X can be X and not X at the same time. That's a lie from hell. X could be X and not X at the same time. It's just that Western mind agree axiomatically, that is a basis in which we are going to launch our thought process, that X can be X and not X at the same time. Like, it's like, why? Who made the decision? We did, you know. Probably some guy at Oxford, you know, decided that's the logic. And without logic, everything collapses. And I understand. There's a room for logic. There's room for science. I love, you know, my internet and, you know, a digitized world, and I use it and I enjoy it. That's not the point. But don't build your faith on that. That's not. Because there's a tension of the reality of God, spiritual reality of the world, and you have to live harmoniously in that tension. You choose to be in one. That's why there's a struggle, like, oh. That's why, you know, when I see some people who's like supernatural and they're like spiritual cuckoos, you know, it's like they're out there doing crazy stuff, like, wow, you know. I choose to be naturally supernatural. God does things very naturally, but it's very supernatural things, just breaking out, man, and supernaturally happening and meeting the right person at the right place. And God does these miraculous things. It's just amazing, you know. I mean, just for me to call by God to go to University of Wales and get my second PhD, are you kidding me? There are 7 people in my family. If I go to grad school, other than my wife, everybody in school. You know. My first daughter, 3rd year at Fuller Theological Seminary. My son, 4th year in college, UC Davis. And my daughter just went to Bible college. My adopted son is in nursing school. And my 5th boy, he's also 23, and he's in computer science. My wife, no school. Me, I'm a grad school, University of Wales. I said, Lord, thank you for providing for me all these years. And I was fasting 40 days, 1998, and the Lord said, don't take salary, I'll feed you. So I've been off of salary for 12 years, and Lord's been feeding me and my family, and no problem, you know, really, no problem. God's been providing. But when God started telling me to go to Oxford and get my University of Wales, campus is at Oxford, and get my PhD, second one, I'm like, Lord, I don't, it's like, oh, tuition is very high, and it's from US dollar to pound, wow, pound is way heavier, right? So I said, Lord, can't do this, right? But Lord provided. No, really, some SP guys helped out, and it's great. Just sent out a little email and people start helping. That's great. But February 2nd, I'm going to Korea, Japan, Cambodia, Frankfurt, and Oxford. That would be 3 months trip for me. February 2nd, I'm sitting with my secretary and Sue. I said, Sue, you know what? I did all the number. I lack 2,400 in 3 months. You know, when I come back, I need $2,400. So when I come back beginning of May in 3 months, I would lack 2,400. Can you make it happen? She said, sir, no. We foundation, you know, we're drying up and we cannot. I wish I had money to give you, but we don't have it. So while we're talking like this, and I know that, you know, Pastor Sam always says, if it's God's will, it's God's bill, right? So I understand that. So I'm like, well, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. So we'll pray. And we're just kind of talking casually. It wasn't supernatural, praying tongue, you know, asking God. It was like just whatever, you know. I said, well, Lord provide. At that moment, a male woman comes in between us, and there's a table right next to us. She puts down one envelope, right, and walks away, right? And that envelope, actually, I have it here. And in that envelope, it was written by a friend of mine, or he was my student for 30 years, because he was my college student. Well, I don't know where it is. And I opened it. He wrote me a check saying that this is for your Oxford education for $2,400. My secretary was freaking out. She said, oh my God! You know, I said, calm down, girl, you know. It's like, how can this happen? We're just talking about $2,400, you know, need. And then, I know, so we should have said $24,000, you know. You know, it's just one more zero. God doesn't care, you know. And so, the thing is, so God provided supernaturally. Amen? Amen? The walls came down. There was a breakthrough, a financial breakthrough. Now, the point is this, but I still have to go to Oxford and still study. That's my battle. See, I could still flunk out if I don't do my part. Are you ready for battle when the walls come down? See, a lot of times we talk about, God, why is it that someone has breakthrough, and it seems like, you know, maybe spiritually, you just look like Pee Wee Herman, you know. Like, come on, God, let the walls come down, you know, with a little stick, you know. I'm ready, you know. And God says, okay, you're not ready. Make another round, you know. You don't want walls to come down now. You will be wiped out, you know. Maybe God is getting you ready for the walls to come down. Amen. So don't spend your entire life competing, comparing, you know, talking about how come so-and-so is getting married and I'm not, and I'm cuter, I'm taller, I'm smarter, you know, on and on and on. Shut up, you know. Get over it, you know, and just love God and trust God, and God knows what He's doing. Yeah. That's my extent of my counseling skill, you know. So, you know. So, I mean, really, you know, I mean, life, goes on, and you need to be ready. You know, I recently watched Karate Kid, you know, the new one, Will Smith's kid. Wow. Because my daughter, she's my movie buddy, and then my last child, Patty's my movie buddy. And, because, you know, they don't want to go to these cute movies like Toy Story and things like that. But she always does. So I would go with her. And Toy Story 1 came out. She was like, I don't know, junior high. And in the scene where the girl gets rejected, the cowgirl gets rejected, you know, I start weeping, like, you know, and she goes, "Dad, it's just a movie," you know. And my wife was sitting next, and I think my husband has inner healing issue. I gotta heal him, you know. But when Patty came recently and said, "Dad, you gotta watch Karate Kid," I don't know why, because Jackie Chan made me cry. I'm like, "No, there's no way Jackie Chan's gonna make you cry. Have you seen his other movies?" You know, so know that you gotta see Karate Kid. Jackie Chan made me cry, so I did. I went to see Karate Kid. I almost cried. You know, Jackie Chan in the scene in the car, like, okay, put it, go back. You know, why am I sharing this? I don't know. Okay, so the point is, how much are you willing, right? When faith is action, how much are you willing, right, to put your life in line? By faith, the walls of Jericho in your life will fall down. After not, you mentally agree that it is going to happen. No, after you encircle your problem 7 times. You do your part. Don't ask God about the things that he's not doing for you. Do your part. I don't know what it is. Pray more. Read Bible more. Do something. Right? Do something that God will do. You know, like, I love this poster, Year of Reaping, and the guy's going like this. I have a little poster. If you could put up the blesscambodia.com up there, that would be great. Blesscambodia.com thing. You know, I found this girl in England, you know, and we befriended, and she's from England, some city, I forgot, and we became Facebook friend, and I found this picture. There was a guy standing next, I chopped him up. And I said, "Girl, I really like your picture. Can I use it for my poster?" She said, "Oh, sure, why not?" You know, now it's all over the world, man. You know, blesscambodia.com. You know, and I made that. Isn't she cute? Yeah, she's a cute girl from England somewhere. And it says, "Bless Cambodia with your treasure. Share God's blessing with Cambodia. Become V2R. Vision to Reality Foundation is what I began. Looking for the 300 Gideon intercessor for Cambodia. Bless Cambodia. I've been to 44 countries so far. I visited 44 countries and met literally hundreds of thousands of people. One truth I found out, he those doesn't pay will not pray. Can you imagine? Try to spell the word P-R-A-Y. You got to write P-A-Y. Pay is part of pray, you know? And so I want, this is my challenge. You know, and I actually brought some books. I wrote this book. I wrote 3 books last year. One of them is Tithing. Tithing book. I really felt like God is telling me, you need to save a nation, Cambodia, and the first way you need to do is to organize an evangelistic team. So 18 months ago, Pastor Tang and I, we began this, launched this ministry called Weekly Evangelism Club. And now we have 280 churches joined that program, and we have 2,700 Weekly Evangelism Club members. And we give them a polo t-shirt with Changing Lives logo. And what they do is weekly they go out and witness once a week and then report back to Phnom Penh. We have seen 7,800 people saved this year. Last 2 years, last year, 10,000. We've seen 17,000 people come to know Christ through this program. There are 14 million Cambodians. There are 130,000 Christians. We raised the entire nation's Christian population by 10%. Within 18 months. Now, these people go, they get saved, they go to this local village church, and their worship sucks. I mean, you know, they don't even have guitar in their church. So why would they stay in this church, see? That's why where Hong Kong SP team comes into play, right? That you've been doing this worship conference, and we had a gathering about 270 worship leaders all over Cambodia and 45 pastors, and we train them, equip them, send them back. And now, you know, with this matching fund where, like, we buy a guitar for $100 and have them pay for 50 matching fund through all your offering, tithing, and that's great. And so with that money, we got them 20, 30 guitars and several keyboards and matching, because they cannot afford $150 guitar, but we give them, you know, $70, we'll give you $150 guitar. We buy $80 guitar and give, they pay $40, and they, because we don't give anything free. Because when you start giving them things free, they become beggars. And you cannot destroy their dignity with our charity. So we respect them too much to do that. So we have this whole thing. So now people are being saved. Some church now double their size. That's an awesome thing, right? They're all coming to worship now, and they're growing, and the magic number in Cambodia is 250. If you have 250 members in Cambodia, you could be self-sustaining. Out of 2,365 churches, only 10 are self-sustaining at this point. You know why? Because 10 churches are more than 250 at this point. So we just need to increase the number so they will give toward the ministry. So that we are seeing almost, at this point, our goal is to raise the Weekly Evangelism Club member to be 5,000 by end of the year. And we'll be seeing good 20,000 people come to know Christ each day, each year. That's an awesome thing. So you save them, get them into church with nice worship, keep them. And then the first leadership training that we're going to do is tithing. Teach people to tithe. That's the only way church will self-sustain. So I wrote this simple book, you know. When you read any books on tithing, it's amazing how people, some people are against this, some whatever. You know, I don't believe in that, right? So I just wrote a book. I read through 120 books on tithing, and then I wrote this little simple book for Cambodian people. And this is how I start. Cambodia Christian must tithe. How simple, I mean, you know, there's no argument, right? It's like, you must tithe, you know? And so it's a simple book. And we made 3,000 copies first, and we start training the pastors with that last November. By January, Pastor Tang came to my house in L.A., and he said, Pastor O, I have something to share with you. I said, what? He said, one of our church members just gave $19,000, not honky dollars, $19,000 tithing to our church. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of money even for any standard. He said, I know. And what really gets to me is that she was my member for a long, long, long time, and she never gave. And after reading your book, she gave $19,000. And he said, can we make more copies of your book? Because we're running out of 3,000. So I said, sure. You know, we made 10,000 copies more, right? And we're making this training Cambodians to give. You know, there are 25 of you going to Cambodia this year. That's awesome. And the first thing that will shock you when you land in Phnom Penh, the number of Lexus in Phnom Penh. This is like, what? You know, these people make $2 a day. Their GNP is $360. So, I mean, how could they have, well, corruption, you know, black money and all that kind of stuff, you know. But we're teaching Christians to tithe, right? I brought, I don't know, 20, 25 copies for you guys. But I'm not giving it, I'm not selling, you know, I can't sell this. And there's no profit in selling this. But if you go to blesscambodia.com and just make this, your, I don't know, dollar a day, not honky dollars, dollar, U.S. dollar a day, business, worship, mission partner, if you make the commitment in your heart, go ahead and take one, right? And if you run out, I'll give it more to Nate when he's coming, Pastor Nate, when he comes back. But point is this, a nation can be saved. Nation can be saved. And I it's amazing how God put it all together, and I think it is not accident that I stayed at Pastor Sam's house, because even that just kind of came as an accident, because we're eating dinner in America with his kids, and I said, Pastor Sam, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to do conference, and then, you know, I really don't have anything else. I said, well, do you have a place to stay? He said, no. Well, then, why don't you stay in my house? Why? Because I and my wife will be gone, and, you know, my master bedroom is empty, so you could stay, and you got free babysitting, right? I got all my kids, at this point, living in my house, you know. They came back for summer. And it's so funny, I called my daughter, because it was her birthday recently. I said, hey, Lisa, happy birthday. I called her at 2 a.m., you know, her time. And then I hear little girls giggling, running around. I'm like, what are these girls? You know, I said, yeah, that's Pastor Sam's kids. I'm like, isn't it 2 a.m. right now? I know, they don't sleep. You know? So these girls are having a good time, you know. And by that, because of that, you know, I am staying at Pastor Sam's apartment. And, you know, it's all these things. The wall, I believe, is going to come down. Financially, relationally, whatever. But are you ready? Fight the battle. Are you ready? And I really pray that the Lord who loves you, Lord who cares for you, Lord wants you to do well, succeed, and make difference in this one life that you live, to make difference and do the things that God has called you. Faith is an action. It's not a mental agreement. When God calls you, God challenges you, God moves you, God shows you, God leads you, God guides you, go for it. Go for it. The walls are coming down. Are you ready? Let's pray. God, we truly give ourselves to you this morning in SP because there are things in our lives, Lord, that doesn't make sense. And we've been complaining to you. And we've been saying, Lord, why? Why me? And Lord, all the time you have been getting ready, preparing us. One life that we live, Lord, you want us to live abundant life. You want us to make difference. What tragic it would be if we could become like that old man who lived the world and conquered the world and dying without any hope of eternity. I know a lot of you are Christian. What tragic thing it would be for you to live a whole life, conquer the world, and nothing to show for eternally because it was all about you, what you wanted to do. It is my challenge to you. For those of you who really do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my God, this is a time. Just say a simple prayer. Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you to be my Lord. Let me just say that in your heart. It's not a public thing. It's a very private thing. Ask Holy Spirit, to come into my heart. Holy Spirit, would you go into their hearts, Lord? Those who pray that. Show them, guide them, speak to them, lead them, Father. And if you are a Christian wanting to live a life that is abundant, live a life that is following, you would like to see a nation saved. Man, I did 13-mile, 7-hour walk, prayer walk over Hong Kong, and wow. Every place I go, there are people. Population density, 6,300 per square kilometers. I mean, my Lord. There are people in this place, souls to be harvested. It's a ripping year, guys. The population density in Cambodia is 64 per kilometers. You are 6,300. This is harvest field. And you know, as I was walking the 7-hour half marathon prayer walk, and I said, God, what would I do if you ever call me to be a mission mobilizer in Hong Kong, not Cambodia? What would I do? And then I came up, I wrote a few master plan how I would do approach this Hong Kong and to see this nation saved. I really believe HSBC needs to be saved. You know, someone told me about the architectural design, how the whole bottom part opens up so the dragon will breathe, you know, to ocean. What nonsense. The dragon doesn't need to breathe, man. The dragon needs to be saved. Man, pray that the CEOs of all the banking system will be saved in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Because I don't want that banker to die at age 70 in coma after having cancer for several years. They conquer the world, but they're going to die and go to hell. Would you be that employee? Would you be that person? Would you be that friend? Go and said, sir, you've conquered the world. You are the Bill Gates of your field. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And know that if you are in that institution, the corporation headquarters, international headquarters, whatever, man, you are sent there as a missionary. Make difference. Don't compromise to be promoted. Man, make difference in the place that God called you. Make difference. Know that God called you there. See that you make the difference. So why don't we commit ourselves? Why don't we rededicate our life to the Lord? Can we do that? Let's just spend 1 or 2 minutes. We could do that, right? Just go to God and say, recommit ourselves. And know that faith is action. Act on it. mobilize yourself, mobilize your life to make difference in the lives of the people that God called you in Hong Kong and all over the world. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Father, we just call, Lord, we just call unto you, Lord God. You are Lord. And Father, Hong Kong shall be saved by SP people, Lord, and you are going to make difference. You changed the world with 12 disciples, Lord. Now you're ready to change Hong Kong, and that's why you call them from all over the world into this place, Lord. So let them do their part, Lord, in saving Hong Kong, Lord God. Let Hong Kong be saved, oh God. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Yes, Lord God. So Father, we worship you. Father, we would like to see your kingdom come to Hong Kong. Your kingdom, Father, will be preached in Hong Kong. Your kingdom will be proclaimed in Hong Kong through the lives of SP people, Lord, for they represent you. They are the small Jesuses running around Hong Kong. Let them make difference, Lord, in this place. Let every commute be a prayer walk. Let every place they put their feet, Lord, they will be praying, seeing people saved. People saved. You know, it's an amazing thing, guys, as I was doing my prayer walk, and I saw so many sick people in Hong Kong. So many sick people. And I saw so many mentally retarded kids, and you know, in my subway and in my walking, and I was praying for them, and I said, oh God, would you heal them? Would you touch them? God, they don't know you, and God, would you just touch them? Heal them. And God has called you to be agent of blessing at Hong Kong. Would you make the difference? Would you see yourself as missionary? Would you see yourself as disciple of Jesus making difference in Hong Kong? So Father, they cannot do it on their own. God, would you impart to them the spiritual gifting, Lord God? Father, would you impart to them, Lord God, that every person they touch, every person they meet in commute, every person that in subway, every taxi driver they encounter, God, I pray that they'll be source of blessing, Lord. God, and we cannot give out an empty bucket, Lord. Would you fill their bucket? Fill them, Father, with anointing and favor, God. In all that they do, Father, they'll live abundantly, overflowing with your milk and honey. Father, they are more than enough, Lord, for you are our Lord and Savior. So Jesus, for one soul, Father, you move mountain to see their soul saved. What would you do to see Hong Kong saved, Lord? What would you do for international headquarters to be saved in Jesus' name? God, use us as your agents, Lord. Let us walk it, pray it, intercede. That while we are here, as long as we are here, as long as we stay in Hong Kong, Lord, that we could proudly say to you, God, I've done my darn best to see Hong Kong saved. Now I'm ready, Lord. Let walls fall down. Send me to the nations, oh God. I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Pastor Bob to come up here. And just stretch out your hand. Right? You talked about being an agent of blessings. Just stretch out our hands to Pastor Bob. Just pray covering, anointing, health, provision. Let's also pray for Cambodia, right? That God would use this man of God, right, to set the captives free. Right? We got brothers and sisters out there who have yet to call on his name, pre-believers. And God is using this agent here to go before him. And so let's join him in prayer and support and just bring covering over him, bring covering over his path as the name of Christ is lifted on high. Let's just pray for him, pray for Cambodia. God, we just want to thank you, Lord. We pray blessing and covering over Pastor Bob. God, we thank you that, God, your name is lifted on high. Jesus said it's your name that saves. And Lord, we just pray for the country of Cambodia. God, we pray for these pastors' children, Lord God, future leaders, Lord God, people that are going to make an impact in their community. God, we pray that as the Solomon's Porch team gets ready, God, that you would bring a life and a fire and a light and example, Lord. And God, we just intercede on their behalf. Christ, we know that you're praying and that you're interceding. And Lord, we want to join you in what you are already at work in accomplishing. And God, we do it in faith. God, we pray in faith. God, we give in faith. God, we go in faith. God, thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Bless this man. Bless his family. Bless his children, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, as the worship team continues to play, if you can just prepare an offering as you feel led for Cambodia, the offering baskets will come around, and just give as you feel led, and then I'll close this in prayer. Come across the aisles, let's join hands, and let's pray for Hong Kong, right? The same passion and fire that Pastor Bob O has, it's the heart of God, it's the heart of Christ, and for our people and for our workplaces and for our community. Let's pray covering and anointing, and that Christ's name will be lifted on high, and that the walls will come down, and that us as believers would be equipped and prepared for what God has called us to. So let's pray for Hong Kong, pray for our families, our workplaces. Keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace and shalom from this day forevermore. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we love you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you hug somebody? Wish them a great week. Also, if you can pray for the Indonesia team and the Fujian team are leaving this week. Okay, we're going to be praying for them in the second service. And just keep them in covering, okay? Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the refreshments.